Amen.
Thank you, children. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew this morning. Our monthly theme is prayer, prayer in the Scriptures. There's a wonderful book by a man by the name of Lockyer. Lockyer was an old Methodist that wrote a number of books. And he loved to write books on every mention of a subject. He's got a book on all the men of the Bible, all the women of the Bible, all the prophecies of the Bible. Wonderful series. And he's also got a book on all the prayers of the Bible. And he makes this statement, excluding the Psalms, the Bible records no fewer than 650 definite prayers, of which no less than 450 of those there are recorded answers. That's a wonderful statistic. That two out of the three prayers mentioned in the Scriptures have an answer entailed, where a request is made and God records the answer to that prayer. And that should be an encouragement to us to pray, and not to be weary in well-doing when it comes to the matter of prayer. So I'd like to spend a few moments this morning and also this evening, Lord willing, just reminding the people of God, myself included, concerning the need to pray and to believe that God answers prayer and God wants to answer the prayers of His people. Here in Matthew chapter 6, let's read verses 5 and 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Our Lord Jesus said, "And when thou prayest," not if thou prayest, when thou prayest. God expects us to pray. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in heaven. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we love you. Thank you for first loving us. And thank you for the opportunity, once again, to study your precious word, that we might learn and apply practically. Encourage us this morning, instruct us, even rebuke us if needs be, concerning this matter of prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. My favourite quote on prayer was made by a preacher by the name of C.H. Spurgeon, who said, "Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence, God's power." Prayer is that slender nerve that moves the muscle of God's omnipotence. How true that is. There is power in prayer. Prayer is the chief means by which God pours out His power upon the life of the Christian and upon the New Testament church. How can we pray more effectively? We all need to be reminded that we need to pray. And the Apostle Paul often made reference to bringing to remembrance. So I'd like to encourage you concerning prayer this morning and this evening, the need to pray, the importance to pray. And as we prepare for our prayer meeting on Friday night, we will have our Wednesday night prayer meeting as per normal, of course. That should go without saying. But then we will devote some special time for prayer on Friday night. I'd like to prepare you in heart for that. I'd like to charge you to be a part of that prayer meeting. Our Lord Jesus often prayed, and he was a wonderful example on how to pray. And here in Matthew chapter 6, he gives us some principles that you and I need to be mindful when it comes to prayer. Part of our Lord's ministry involved teaching people to live out a genuine Christ life. And part of that was the discipline of prayer. So we see here in chapter 6 that the Lord Jesus here in verses 5 and 6 deals with the issue of motives. Our motives as we pray. He talks about some wrong motives. In verse number 5 it reads, "When thou prayest," God expects us to pray. May I remind you that God expects you to pray? You don't have an option when thou prayest, not if you decide to pray. No, when thou prayest. He goes on to say in verse 5, "Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." He's referring to the religious leaders of that day, a group known as the Pharisees. They weren't all rotten eggs, duds, but many were. And when it came to this matter of prayer, they were out to impress. And the Lord Jesus said, "When thou prayest, don't be hypocritical like the Pharisees." Are hypocrites. And verse 5 goes on to read, "For they love to pray in the synagogue." They love to pray. The Pharisees wanted to be seen by others as people that prayed. Where? In the synagogues, first and foremost. To show off their eloquence in prayer in the place of public worship. But also the Lord Jesus went on to say that they love to pray standing in the synagogues, being seen to stand in the synagogues. But also note then verse number 5, the Lord Jesus referred to these hypocrites, these Pharisees, that also they love to be seen praying, note then verse 5, in the corners of the streets. Note the plural there, corners of the streets. Not a particular corner, but to go from corner to corner, praying a little here in this corner. The thing about a corner of a street is you can be seen by more than one direction. So the Pharisees had this habit of wanting to be seen as people of prayer. So what they would do, they would stand up in the synagogue and utter these eloquent prayers because they're out to impress people in that place of worship. But also they loved to go into the crowded marketplaces, of course, and go from corner to corner praying, and then go to this corner because I'll get more of an audience and pray a little bit here, and then go to this corner and pray a little bit here. That was the Pharisees. And the Lord Jesus said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that delight to stand in the place of worship and be seen of all men as people of prayer. And don't be like these hypocrites that walk through crowded marketplaces from corner to corner to corner so that they can be seen by as many people as possible praying. Pastor, did they really do that?
Yes, they did.
That's why the Bible reads there in verse 5, in the corners, plural, of the streets, plural. They didn't just stand in one corner and have their prayer meeting. No, they'd pray a little in this corner, then they'd move to this corner, and so on. And Jesus said, what hypocrites! Love to be seen of men as people of prayer. To be identified as people that prayed. And the Lord Jesus went on to say in verse number 5, they have their reward. In Matthew 12:36, the Bible reads, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The Lord Jesus addressed the hypocrisy of the Pharisee in this issue of prayer. My friend, we as Christians should not be out to impress. And you men, when you pray here in church, and it's a privilege to pray in church, it's a privilege to lead God's people in prayer, let me remind you men, we're not here to impress anybody. What helps me in my public prayer is just to pray as if it's just me before God. That's been a help to me. The Pharisees wanted to impress. And beloved, you and I as God's people, as Bible-believing Christians, we're not here to impress. We are here to please the Lord, are we not? So the Lord Jesus addresses wrong motives in our prayers, but then he moves on in verse 6 and he encourages right motives reflected by right discipline. Note then verse number 6, he writes, but thou, is drawing a contrast. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love. But thou, verse 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. The word closet there means an inner room, a private place, a place of communion. And then it goes on to say, when thou hast shut thy door. A sharp contrast to the Pharisees that loved to stand in the place of worship and to be seen of all as people of prayer and to go from corner to corner in the streets praying. But thou, when you pray, enter into your closet, shut the door so that nobody sees you praying. And then he goes on to say in verse number 6, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me ask you this morning, what are your motives in praying? The Lord Jesus said that you and I should be prepared to pray as if nobody will ever see us praying. The Pharisees loved the praise of men. They loved the thought that people considered them as holy, as people of prayer. They loved making an impression. But you and I, as the people of God, we are not out to impress. We are here to please the Lord. The Lord Jesus, when he was baptized, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son," Matthew 3:17, "in whom I am well pleased." We need to have right motives as we pray. And the Lord Jesus said, if your motives are pure, you are prepared to pray in private, shut the door as if nobody sees you pray, I will openly answer your prayers. You pray in secret, but I will answer your prayers openly. Why do we pray? What are our motives? This is so critical in praying effectively. Our Lord Jesus wants us to do that which is right, but he wants us to do right with a right motive. To impress man, no. To please God, yes. Proverbs 23:7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he," the Bible teaches us. "Keep thy heart with all diligence," proud of it, are the issues of life. And when it comes to prayer, people of God, we need to ask ourselves, what are my motives? Are my motives pure? What are my motives in praying? Am I simply wanting to get, or do I have pure motives? I love my Lord and I love others and I just want to spend time with my God because I love him. I have no hidden agenda. Most of us go about our business with an agenda. There's a place for an agenda. I understand we need to have purpose. But when it comes to prayer, you and I should be seeking the glory of God. God be praised. It's not a matter of, oh, God heard my prayers. I prayed. No, glory be to God. God answers the prayers of his people. Whether anybody knows or sees me praying, glory be to God. I have a God that listens to the prayers of his people. Hears the cries of his people. He's a God answering. He's a prayer answering God. Motives are very, very important when it comes to prayer. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Our motives. And the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples, first and foremost, that you need to be prepared to go into your closet, your quiet time, that place between you and God alone. Shut the doors if nobody sees you. And if you will pray in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So the motives in our prayers are critical to God. So let me encourage you, as you pray, consider your motives. Are there some selfish motives? Do you have a personal agenda? Or do we simply want to please the Lord and glorify his name as we pray? And then in verses 7 and 8, please, note then verse 7 and 8, he goes on, he addresses the issue of the mechanics of prayer, what I call the mechanics of prayer, the operational elements of prayer. Look at verse 7 and 8. Verses 5 and 6, he deals with our motives. Do we want to be seen as people of prayer, or do we just simply want to please the Lord and pray in private and trust God to answer publicly, whether anybody ever realizes that they were prayed for? Look at verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Your motives in prayer. I think it's one thing to say, I'm praying for you. There's a place for that. But you don't need to labor the point. Just do it. Don't keep telling me, I'm praying for you, Pastor. Just do it. Amen? Do you want me to be impressed that you're praying for me? There's a place for that, I understand. And every now and again, we need somebody to pat us on the back and say, I'm praying for you. Well, let's do it. But also, God is concerned about the mechanics of our prayers, the operational elements of our prayers. And he gives us some warnings here. He warns us concerning those that are hypocritical, wanting to be seen of men, to make an impression before men. But here in verse 7 and 8, he addresses the issue of vain repetition, there in verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, plural. By repetitions, the repeating of the same words without any real heartfelt emotion. Chanting, in other words, a chant. So God is concerned about our motives in prayer, but also God is concerned about the mechanics of our prayers, the operational elements of our prayers, and God warns us, be careful of vain repetitions, where you are repeating the same words without any real heartfelt emotion. And he tells us this is what the heathen do. Vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. If we're to pray effectively, beloved, we need to be careful lest we fall prey to wanting to impress fellow man. Our motive should be the glory of God. That God answers prayer for His glory. That God is glorified. That should be our motive in prayer. But also we need to be careful lest we place our faith in our prayers by vain repetition. Repeating the same words without any heartfelt emotion. You and I as the people of God need to be guided by the Holy Spirit as we pray. Note then Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Note this, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So how can you and I be kept from vain repetitions and placing our faith in our words, our prayers? We can be kept from vain repetitions by being guided by the Holy Spirit of God, yielding to the Spirit of God within us to lead us in how to pray. I've often said on Wednesday night during our prayer meetings, don't be afraid to just be quiet and still and wait before the Lord. Or to even say from time to time, Lord, I'm not sure how to pray. Help me. Help me. I'm not sure how to pray for my father's salvation. Help me. I'm not sure how to pray for my sister's salvation. Help me. Instead of trying to place our faith in our prayers, our words, as the heathen do, and the Bible calls this vain repetition because it's no longer relationship orientated, it is just a parroting off certain words. It's one thing to bring a loved one before the Lord continually for the need of their salvation, for example. It's another to repeat their name continually. God save John, 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 God save John. That's vain repetition. But when the Holy Spirit is leading us in prayer, He will guide us in the specific ways that we can pray for John's salvation. Maybe John is having some health issues. Lord, will you show John that during these health struggles that he is not immortal, that life is like a vapor. Maybe you hear that John is struggling in the workplace. Lord, pray, I'm praying for John's salvation, and Lord, may you use the struggles he has at work to bring him to that point of where he realizes that he is not invincible. And there is nothing really secure. Job security is in your brain. Yeah. So by yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, He is able to lead us in prayer and protect us from vain repetition, thinking that we will be heard because of our much speaking. Key is yielding to the Holy Spirit. The much speaking here in verse number 7, the long prayers. Oh, my friend, God is after quality, not just quantity. God is not deaf. Our God doesn't have selective hearing. Long prayers don't necessarily lead to spirituality. No more than short prayers are a measure of spirituality. A broken and contrite spirit, O God, Thou will not despise. And beloved, you and I as the people of God need to have pure motives as we pray. And we need to be mindful that God is not going to answer our prayers based upon how many times we chant John's name. But God's going to answer our prayers because we have a loving Heavenly Father that loves John more than I love John. And God is not willing that any should perish but all should come to repentance. And we yield to the Holy Spirit of God who guides us and leads us to pray specifically for His salvation. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, please, for a moment. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 5. good advice here in verse number 2. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. See, God's after quality, not quantity. Yes, the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples, could ye not watch and pray for an hour? And does not the Bible teach us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing? God wants us to pray, and he wants quality prayers, spirit-led prayers, heartfelt prayers. God wants us to pray to a God in heaven that loves us and delights to answer our prayers. And not to place our faith in how many times we pray or how long we pray, but to place our faith in the God of the heavenlies who answers prayer. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, note then verse number 8. Let me rest my case with this point. Note verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. If God knows everything and God knows what I need, then why do I need to pray? As if God doesn't know. Do you think God needs to be reminded that you need $1,000 to pay your next electricity bill? It's the winter months, so I'm going to need $1,000, Lord. As if God doesn't know that, do you think God needs to be reminded or God needs to be told, oh, really? You're expecting $1,000 electricity bill? Okay, I'll store that away. Thank you for letting me know. God knows everything, does he not? And note then verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, not the heathen's father, not these religious hypocrites' father, but your Father in heaven knoweth what things ye have need of before ye even ask. God knows what we need. So why do we pray? Well, we are ultimately placing our trust in God by presenting our petitions before him. God knows the beginning from the end. If we're not careful, we can end up trusting our prayers instead of trusting the God whom we pray to. Because I prayed. Now hang on. Wrong focus. Because I prayed. Wrong focus. Our focus needs to be in the God that answers prayer. Because I prayed to my God, there's a vast difference. The early church had access to God's power through prayer. Not in prayer, through prayer. There's a difference. God knows your needs, beloved. And God wants to answer the need of your heart. Prayer is how we show our dependence upon the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to commune with him. In Isaiah 65:24 it reads, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Have you ever had an answer to prayer before you even prayed about it? Talk to me. Yeah. And you thought to yourself, I didn't even pray about that, and God already did that. We serve a gracious God, do we not? Right, motives are important, and God is concerned about the mechanics of our prayer, and the key to being kept from vain repetition is to yield to the blessed Holy Spirit of God, because in Christ we have a personal relationship with God the Father, and we can go before our Heavenly Father and bring our needs before Him. Romans chapter 8, please, once again. Romans 8. Verses 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The child of God not only possesses the presence of God's Spirit, but also they are led by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, the God of the heavenlies becomes our Heavenly Father. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can enter into the presence of God the Father. And in the presence of God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can yield to the Holy Spirit of God, who will help us and guide us to pray as we ought. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Well, Pastor, it needs some improvement. Welcome to the club. All of us can pray a little bit more and pray with pure motives. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8, your Father knoweth the things that ye have need of before ye ask Him. And then verses 9 and onwards reads, after this manner therefore pray ye. Isn't it funny that some have taken verses 9 down to verse number 13 and made it a ritualistic prayer? Our Father which art in heaven. And the Lord Jesus has just said, don't pray in vain repetition, thinking you're going to be heard because you repeat, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, so many times. But after this manner, therefore pray ye, it simply means I'm going to give you a skeleton. I'm going to give you an outline. And this is what should be a part of your daily prayer time. It begins by acknowledging God who is heaven in heaven, our Heavenly Father and our eternal home. Now tonight we're going to study verses 9 to 15. And just review what are the elements of an effective prayer time. A prayer life. And we're encouraging you to commit to memory corresponding passage from the book of Luke. To what end? That you might parrot off the Lord's Prayer? No, that you and I might remember and recall the need to have a balanced prayer life. And the Lord Jesus said, after this manner, after this model, I want you to follow. You begin here, you end here. And He teaches us how to pray effectively. At the end of the day, we can talk all that we like concerning the need to pray and have right motives as we pray and be led by the Spirit to pray, but you and I need to pray. And we need a reminder this morning, we need a reminder on this long weekend, the power is in prayer. And the struggles we have is a struggle of prayerlessness. And may God challenge us afresh that the need of the hour is for God's people to take seriously the charge to pray. And to pray with pure motives. And to pray earnestly. And to pray under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. And to simply believe, my God in heaven wants to glorify His name. And He'll do so. As I place my complete trust and dependence upon Him by praying. How's your prayer life? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. We'll continue on this evening. How's your prayer life? Do you have a need at this time? Let me encourage you to take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Could you not watch for an hour, said the Lord Jesus to His own disciples? Let's take seriously the charge to pray. Let's cleave unto the promise. If we enter into our closet, shut the door, pray in secret, God will answer openly. Let me encourage you to pray this morning. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes.